4:15. If you're able to stand, let's do so, please, on this song. 4:15.
Sorrow.
Ashley will tell us what's going on Wednesday night in a little bit. I will say this, continue to pray for them and the housing situation. The devil is pulling out all the stops to try to prevent them from coming up here on a full-time basis. And so we need to pray that God will intervene and deal with this situation that they're facing right now. So continue to pray about that. Unfortunately, we live in a society that demands that we be dishonest before the Lord. And if we really believe what God's Word says, we won't cave into that. So continue to pray about that, that God will provide, whether it's that home or another one, that things will get taken care of soon. And on that note, we still aren't sure yet who the speaker will be next Sunday, but Pastor will not be with us next week. So pray that God will provide a speaker for next Sunday. And because Pastor will not be here, we will not have an evening service next week. So we are sorry about that, but unfortunately it can't be helped. We will have our normal Wednesday evening prayer Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Pastor will be here that night. Pastor, you can correct me if I get it wrong, but I want to make sure that those of you who weren't able to be here earlier know about the viewing and the funeral arrangements for Kelly. From 6 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday evening at the Brubaker Funeral Home there on Chestnut Street in Copley. From 6 to 8 p.m. On Tuesday night, there will be a viewing. Then on Wednesday morning at 11 to 12:30 will be another greeting of the family and a viewing. And then the funeral service will be at 12:30 at the Brubaker Funeral Home there on Chestnut Street in Copley. So we want to pray God's blessing upon that, that the gospel will be clear and that hearts will be touched just like we saw earlier today. I imagine there probably will be a good number of folks there that don't know the Lord as their Savior. So we want to pray that God will use this occasion, in spite of the sorrow, to reach people with the gospel of Christ. So that's the information I have. We want to continue to pray for the family, like we said earlier. Okay, that's all I have at this point. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. We've been going over those verses here recently as our memory verses. Say it one time together. Ecclesiastes 1, 9 and 10. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already a whole time which was before us. Pastor was saying earlier, and it goes right along with these two verses, all of us, and I mean no disrespect to anyone, all of us, unless the Lord takes us home in the rapture, have an expiration date. All of us have one. It's only by the grace of God that we remain to this day. All right, let's take our hymn books once again and turn to 425. 425. at 4:26. After this pastor, a lot of us maybe have a special command. So.
Rodney Myers is still going to preach for us Wednesday night. I'll be here Wednesday. But he's coming up with the family, I believe, for the funeral. And he was originally scheduled to preach Wednesday night because I wasn't supposed to be here Wednesday. But he's going to do, if he's here, he'll do the service Wednesday night. And then after Wednesday night service that Rodney does, we're going to have Erica's baptism as well. So looking forward to that. That's how Wednesday evening's going to look. I won't be here next Sunday. But keep the housing situation in prayer. I'm learning some new things because it's only the second time I bought a house. And so they were wanting me to sign a form that I couldn't sign because they were wanting me to say that something I had received was a gift when in reality it wasn't a gift. I was going to repay what I had, what was given to me. And so needless to say, I couldn't sign the form they wanted me to say. So then they said, well, if you can't sign this form stating that this is a gift, then you're not going to be able to go forward with the mortgage. And about a half hour later, I received a text from my realtor saying, well, would you consider renting the house until you could buy it? Well, so I said, yeah, I'd definitely consider that. So that's where we're at right now. We pushed a closing date out to April 30th. My brain, you have to forgive me this evening. My brain's all scrambled up tonight. Pushed the closing out to April 30th. That'll clear things up with what they want me to take care of before. We should know this week whether we have the mortgage or not. So keep that in prayer. If that's a go, then I'll sign the papers for the lease for the 2 months. So we might actually be up here sooner than what we were expecting, which would be March 1st, which is, I don't know what, that's a week and a half from now. I don't know the exact date of when March 1st is. I just know it's soon. So possibly after next Sunday, we could be up here full time. So keep that in prayer. God's will be done with all that. I appreciate everybody's prayers this morning. I definitely believe God was in the services. I believe God moved, directed. I believe in even exact timing on everything that occurred this morning. I definitely appreciate your prayers. I appreciate the singing out of the brethren during the songs. I think it was a testimony to those that were here. Everybody that I could tell that was visiting, everybody was paying attention. Everybody was, I would say, somber, I think, because of what's happened with Kelly, her passing. But I also think the Lord dealing with hearts. I really do. I really believe God was dealing with hearts this morning as well, because of her testimony and I think the testimony of the church. It's something when you come into church and you can sing like that, especially the old hymns. And I was even praying when we were singing the hymns that God would deal with individuals just by the lyrics that are in the hymns. I mean, you don't really have to say nothing. Some of the hymns we were singing, Grace Greater Than All Our Sin, I mean, that right there alone will preach to you. So just pray for everybody who's here. I had some good opportunities to talk with some individuals. So keep them in prayer. I think there were some people here this morning that were sincerely looking and seeking, and I think they saw a difference. And so I just want to say thank you to everyone that's here, that was here this morning, for just how you sang out, how welcoming. It's a blessing to be able to look out and see the brethren welcome, talking with. It's just a blessing to be able to see that as a pastor, and I haven't been here very long. So I just want to say personal thank you to you for how we handled this morning. I think it was a blessing to those that were here. Continue to keep Jason in prayer, Lydia, Miss Donna, the rest of the family, Chris and the Mitchell family, and I know you'll keep them in prayer. But I'd like to take a few minutes this morning to continue our study here in Thessalonians. If you take your Bible and look at 1 Thessalonians this evening, 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to look at, finish up here, verses 6 and 7, hopefully tonight. 1 Thessalonians, we'll try to move on forward here and the first chapter, and as the Lord wills, we'll look at verses 6 and 7 this evening. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6, and it says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you again for the precious brethren that are here. Lord, I know there's some that would want to be here this evening, but they can't make it, dear God. I know there's some that are under the weather. And Lord, I know Jason's got a lot going on. I know he's still dealing with family. I pray you just help him this evening. And Lord, those that just couldn't make it, Father, I pray you just be with them in a special way tonight. Help them, encourage them. And Lord, I pray you just give us something out of your word tonight, Lord. I have nothing to offer, Lord, and I pray you just lead, guide, and direct. Lord, may we just see something in your scriptures this evening, Lord, that would just help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. A lot of crazy things happening all over the world. But Lord, I pray that we would just draw closer to you through it, and that we would just love you more. And we ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul tells those in Thessalonica here, he says in the latter part, he says in verse 6, and you became followers of us, and we kind of looked at that last Sunday evening, that I was here. He says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, and having received the word in much affliction. So he's writing to those in Thessalonica, and he's recognizing that them coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, them believing what Paul was putting forth, they had to receive it in much affliction. The word affliction in a dictionary means a state of pain, distress, or grief. The cause of continued pain of body or of mind, as sicknesses, losses, calamity, adversity, and persecution. And I think it's the latter part of that definition that those in Thessalonica had to deal with. There was adversity and there was persecution that was coming against the church of Christ. And when Paul came in here to talk to those in Thessalonica, he recognizes that, listen, if you're going to believe what I'm putting forth, you need to be ready to suffer affliction. Because people are not going to like what you're getting ready to believe, what you're getting ready to follow, and they're not going to accept it. And not only are they not going to accept it, there may be persecution that may come with it. And I think in some senses we're starting to see some things change in this very country that we live in, that it would not surprise me down the road. Now, I don't want it to happen. God forbid that it would happen. But it wouldn't surprise me if there was some type of persecution against the church. It wouldn't surprise me one bit. Okay? If this society can't take Donald Trump, if they really knew what we believed, where would we stand with today's society? So I believe it's God's hand that's watching out over the church here in the United States. But I believe God's blessed us and God's helped this country. But there's individuals, I mean, we all know in China, Saudi Arabia, and Iraq, Iran, there's Christians there. And they're suffering persecution for what we believe. It's only by God's grace in this country that we've been allowed to go on like we have been without suffering any type of persecution or affliction. But those in Thessalonica, those at the time of Paul and of Peter and of John, they suffered severe persecution underneath the Roman government for what they believed. And Paul's telling them, he says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word. They received it in much affliction, in much adversity, in much persecution. They received God's word. You see, it cost the Thessalonians something to receive the precious word of God. Stay in 1 Thessalonians and flip on over to chapter number 2 and look at verse number 13. Paul again talks again to them in this letter, and he says in verse 13 in chapter 2, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Paul, again, you're not even, I don't know how many verses that is between chapter 1, verse 6 to chapter 2, verse 13 or 14. I'm not sure how many verses that is again. But you see Paul, again, putting emphasis on them receiving the word of God. Now, how could they receive the word of God with much affliction and much suffering? You see, if you receive the word of God as it just being the mere words of men, you're going to be tempted real quick to turn from it. Brethren, this morning or this evening, if this book were just a mere book written by a man or a couple men about what they thought God might be, and all of a sudden there was a chance for me to get stoned or hung on a cross or burnt at the stake because I'm believing maybe something that just some men put together, what they thought might be what God said, I'm going to be real quick to say, you know what? No, I'm not going to go to that cross. I'm going to reject this because how do I know if it's even true if it's just some men writing about what they think God said? I'm going to be more tempted to turn away from that persecution and that affliction because my faith and what I believe is standing more on what men are saying than what God's saying. Does that make sense? But when you can look at it and say, no, God said this. I believe God said this, just like Paul says here in verse 13, receive the word of God which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. What is the truth? The very word of God which effectually worketh in you. Is that a bird? It's a bat. Anybody see where it came from? Listen. Brethren, I'm telling you what. If you all surprise any more surprises on me, I'm going to try something. I'm going to see if I go out the door. Just as long it doesn't land in my head. Come on, little bat. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh. Come on out. I don't know how to turn that off. Go, go, go. Where are you at? Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. There you go. Thank you, Lord.
What else can happen around here?
I'm telling you what. Thank you for your help. Wow. Oh. Wow. That's a first for that. There's been a lot of firsts these last month and a half. Wow. No, it... Whew. Oh, really?
It has happened before.
Huh?
At least once, I know.
Well, the Lord... bats in the belfry. Yep. Now I know where that comes from. That makes sense. Amen. So where I was at? So... Yeah. And you know, my thought coming in this evening was to make things short because everybody's had a long day. But, yeah, but we got to see one of God's creatures this evening. We could do some study. Maybe I'll do a study on bats. See if we can pull anything out spiritually from bats. That's the closest I've ever been to one, but amen. So, all right, so they receive the word of God, not as it is the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you and also that believe. Listen, back to my point here. If it was just men that put forth the word of God, then I'm not going to be so quick to suffer persecution for it. That's my point on that. If it's what God says, and God said, and I know that Jesus Christ went before me, and he says that if you're gonna be a Christian, you're gonna suffer persecution. Okay, that's just the way it is gonna be. You go out here and just, you know, Lord willing, at some point in the springtime or in the summer, I'm gonna try to go out here and just hold up some scripture signs in some of the corners at some points, just to be a testimony to the community. And at some point, somebody's not going to like it, and you don't have to say anything. Just go out on the street corner and hold up a Bible, or what looks to appear to be a Bible, and you're going to get people that are going to get mad at you, and you're not even saying anything. It's just what it represents. And so the Lord, and through Paul here, says, listen to the those in Thessalonica, that you're going to suffer persecution. If you receive the word of God in truth for what it really is, be ready. Because the devil doesn't like you standing for Jesus Christ. He doesn't like you being a testimony. He doesn't like what God's done for you. He doesn't like what God provides for you. He doesn't like God's promises to you. Therefore, he's going to assault you, and he's going to try to discourage you, and he's going to try to get you to stay quiet when maybe you should speak, and he'll also try this, get you to speak when you should be quiet. The enemy has all kinds of tactics, and he'll try to persuade you that it's just not worth it. But it is worth it, brethren. It is worth it. My pastor, he read it, and I got at home. When I first started going to church, my pastor said, you should get three books in your house. You should always have these three books in your house. And I went and got them. He said, you get your 1828 Webster Dictionary. He said, get you Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. Get the old one now. Don't get no new one. Because the new one, they do an abridgment, and it's not like the old one. Get the old Pilgrim's Progress and get you Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I got Martyr's Mirror, which is a little bit, I mean, it's a Martyr's Mirror. I don't know if you've ever seen Martyr's Mirror book. It is huge. It's thick. But it's all the persecution of the saints from the time of Christ all the way up to Martyr's Mirror, I think, is up to like the 1700s. And you read about what some of the Christians went through before us. And I know what it does to me. It says, God, help me. I'm going to complain because somebody cusses at me. There was one in there of a young lady. She was getting tortured for the Lord, and they had her on a stake, and they were getting ready, and just this is what she went through. They were getting ready to put screws into her shins to get her to recant, the Roman Catholic Church. And you know what she was worried about? God help me. She was more worried about her nakedness being seen because they had to lift up her skirt for the screws going into her, that she would be a bad testimony, than even the screws going in for the Lord Jesus Christ. That puts me to shame. I'm talking about another brother in the Lord who got put on a rack and they stretched him out. But this is a testimony of how God, they stretched him out on the rack, and when they were getting ready to take him off of it, he started yelling out to them, put me back on there. Put me back on that rack. And they were like, huh? He's like, I've never been so close to the Lord in my life. He said it was like as an angel was giving me water to drink. He said, put me back on there. You see, brethren, you don't know the testimony of what God could do in your life. See, now look, now I know what the devil's going to do. The devil's going to get in your head, and I know he'll get in my head and be like, oh, see, this is what's going to happen to you if you follow Jesus. All these bad things are going to persecute you. Don't let the devil do that. Because listen, I truly believe this. If God allows you to go through something, he's going to give you the grace to go through it. Now see, if you're not going through it, you're not going to get the grace. And that's where the devil can come jump in and mess with your mind. You say, well, I ain't got the grace. Well, that's because you're not going through nothing yet. Therefore, you don't need the grace. Does it make sense? So don't be going home tonight and thinking, oh, they might put me on a rack, or what would I do if they were getting ready to burn me at the stake? Well, you're not there. That's not occurring. So don't let the devil mess with you in your mind about it. Because there is no need for grace. There is no need for God to help you because you're not facing it. Does that make sense? Now be careful, because the devil will jump in your mind. Well, what would I? You're not there. You're not facing it. So God's not going to give you help. Okay? I'm just saying these things of there are those that went before us that suffered persecution, that suffered affliction, that suffered things for the cause of Christ. And it's exactly what Paul's telling those there in Thessalonica. He said, for ye, verse 14, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things for your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. You know what that does for us? It should boast, it should lift us up, knowing that there were brethren who went before us and God saw them through it. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He will see you through any trial that may come across your path. Just trust him that he knows what's best. He knows what's going on in your life. And he's doing it for your profit to make you grow and hopefully grow closer to him. Okay? So Paul tells them here, he says that they received it with much affliction. Take your Bible and look over to chapter 3, same book, 1 Thessalonians. Look at chapter number 3 and look at verse number 2. Chapter 3, verse 2, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Look, why did Paul send Timotheus to him? He says, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we were appointed thereunto. Paul's telling him, listen, I'm sending Timothy to you to establish you, to comfort you, to check in on you. Why? Verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Paul knew, listen, there might be an opportunity that some would get afraid, some would get scared, that what was going on. And Paul's saying, listen, no, don't be scared, don't be afraid of what's going on, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. What did Paul refer to the tribulations that he went through? He referred to it as a light thing. He said it's a light thing. Paul says, compared to what I saw in eternity, it's nothing. Whatever I might go through in this life, Paul was stoned, Paul was shipwrecked, Paul was beaten, and Paul looked at it, all that Paul went through, he looked at it and says, it was just a light thing. Compared to what we have in eternity, what God's got prepared for them that love him, this is light. Fear not what man can do to the body, but rather fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. That's the Lord talking in Matthew chapter 10. Paul's saying, listen, whatever you might go through in this life, the most horrible thing that could happen to you, Paul says, listen, count it a light thing. It's not even worthy to be compared. You say, well, it might not be worth it. And Paul says, you can't even compare what you might go through to what God's got prepared for them that love him. You can't even compare it. God loves you that much. And God will see you through it. And Paul is telling those in Thessalonica, listen, Paul's saying, I'm trying to encourage you that this persecution is suffering, these afflictions that might come upon you, trust Christ. He'll see you through it because we've been appointed to it. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul says, don't be surprised, but know this, that God will see you through it. There were followers, here it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, but ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. I want to close with two scriptures here this evening. First, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and then we're going to look at Romans chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, look at verse number 1 through 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 through 5, Paul telling those in Corinth, he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You see, Paul's telling them here, he's like, listen, those churches in Macedonia, they were in such deep poverty that I don't even think they realized how poor they were. But because they realized that this world has nothing to offer them, they were not anchored to this world, they were even able in their deep poverty to be extremely liberal with the things that they had. And Paul's telling those brethren in Corinth, saying, listen, look at how those brethren in Macedonia did. Look at how willing they were to give in their liberality and their soul and in their spirit and in their physical things. He says, and they were in deep poverty, but they had joy. Why did they have joy? Because they realized that my life is not bound up here on this planet. My life is hid in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Therefore, they can have deep joy. They can have great joy no matter what their circumstances were. And Paul's telling us here, for us to glean from it, that we can have great joy no matter what comes upon us here on this earth, even if it is deep poverty. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You see where it starts first? It starts with you giving yourself to the Lord. I'm not talking about salvation now. I'm talking about after salvation. I'm talking about after salvation, yielding yourself daily a sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We'll close with these verses right here. Romans 12, 1 and 2. What Paul says here to those Romans, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you see? We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about believers getting to a point in their life that they're willing to offer. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by what? By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. When you put a sacrifice on that altar, it's not coming off. And what happens with that sacrifice on an altar? What does it get consumed by? A flame. You see, there's pictures of the Bible of this. With the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they got thrown into that fiery furnace, and they weren't consumed. They're in that furnace of persecution. That was meant for persecution. And Nebuchadnezzar sees them in there and in that fiery furnace, and he's like, oh no, they're not consumed. They're in the fire, yet they're not consumed. You see, that's what the world needs. That's what the world needs to see with a believer. If persecution should come, and that believer were to, for lack of better words, put into that fire, and they see that believer in that fire, and that believer is in that fire of persecution, yet they're not consumed. You don't think that's going to cause some questions? One of those things that talks about with the Romans when they caused persecution upon the church was that it would either drive that individual crazy or it would cause them to break down and get saved. One of the two. They can't handle it. A person of the world can't handle somebody receiving persecution, yet God being all over them through that persecution. It'll either drive them crazy or it's going to break them and have them call out to Jesus Christ. One of the two. Because it makes no sense. How can you praise God in the midst of trials and tribulations? To the world, that makes no sense. Because in the world's mind, you should be complaining and being upset and trying to fix it. But if you're taking it graciously and you're taking it and God's giving you the strength to go through it, it's going to cause the world to question. And it's going to show the world that you have something that's real, different than what they have. Paul says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice, Paul? A holy sacrifice that's acceptable unto God, which Paul says here, he says, which is your reasonable service. It's the least thing we can do for our precious Savior is to present our bodies as a living sacrifice daily for Him, as a testimony. And be not conformed to this world. Can a Christian be conformed to this world? Yes, the Bible says right here. There's many Christians, they're saved, they're saved, God's changed them, God's made them a new creature, yet they drift away and they become conformed to this world. Paul says, don't let that happen. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you transformed? Starts right here in your mind. What you put in your eyes, what you put in your ears affects your mind, affects your thoughts, which then maybe affects your heart. It can get you discouraged, or it can encourage you if it's the things of God. It can go either way. Paul says, be transformed. Paul, how are we transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Why, Paul? Why do we need our mind renewed? That we may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our life. You see, you're not going to find the will of God for your life if you're being conformed to this world. It's not going to happen. God's not going to show you. God's not going to direct you. God's not going to lead you because you're walking after the flesh. You're being conformed to this world. And God, for the moment, is just going to step back and say, okay, whenever you're ready to turn back around again. It's the same way with my kids, a child. If I'm dealing with my sons and they're doing wrong, okay, yeah, you're still my son and I'm still your father, but until you make this thing right, our fellowship's stopping right here for right now. We're still father-son. We still have that relationship. Nothing could ever sever that, but our fellowship now has been broken because you've chosen to go your way and do your thing, and I can't follow along with that. And so I'm going to step back for a moment, and when you choose to get things right with me, I'm more than willing to accept you back in, and we're going to keep walking together then. The same thing with our Father in heaven. If we're doing things that are displeasing him, he's not going to go along with it. He's going to stay right here and say, okay, whenever you're ready to turn back around and start, we'll start walking again, but you need to make this thing right first. So Paul's saying here, listen, if you're conformed to this world, you're not going to know what is that perfect, a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That may be why your mind's plagued, because you're not walking with me like God says I want you to walk with me. I hope these things make sense this evening. Paul says here, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul told those in Thessalonica, and he became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm going to stop there this evening. But you can have joy through it. And next Sunday, whenever I'm back up again on a Sunday evening, we're going to look a little more on that joy of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can provide joy through the midst of anything that we may face in this life. The joy of the Holy Ghost can be there because we know if we're saved that this is not it. There's eternity awaiting us with our precious Heavenly Father and our precious Savior in heaven someday. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for this time, Lord, with the brethren. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that we were able to get that bat out of here. Lord, you had purposes in it, Father. You knew why it occurred, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, that we were able to go on. Lord, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, Lord, and these letters that he wrote to these churches, Lord. And God, how you allow us to read them today, some 2,000 years later. And Lord, help us to find comfort in them. Help us to know, Lord, that there were brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord who went on before us. And Lord, you saw them through the most difficult of times. And Lord, we can trust that, Lord, that if those difficult times were to come upon us, we can trust and we can know, Lord, that you will see us through it. And not only just see us through it, Lord, that we could, there's a potential there, Lord, that we could have joy in thy precious Holy Ghost. Lord, help us to glean from these things. Help us to meditate on them. Help us to look at them. Help us to hide them away in our heart, Lord, that we would just love you more in these last days that we're living in. And Lord, we just thank you now, Lord. I pray you get everybody a safe trip home. Lord, continue to comfort the family, Lord, through the time of loss of Miss Kelly, Lord. Be with us and meet with us during the funeral. Just give wisdom and direction there. Lord, deal with the lost family members. Lord, I pray that we're here this morning, Lord. I pray you deal with the hearts. I pray you deal with their souls. I pray you bring conviction upon them. Lord, they'd see how much you love them, you care for them, and you made a way out for them. And I pray this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. You all dismissed. Hope you have a good week. I love y'all. Amen.